The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's World Philosophy Day, Tony. Do you even have a personal philosophy?
I'm Tony Kornheiser, and I do. Be kind, be grateful, be asleep by 8:30, 8:45 tops. That's the way I'm living my life in my old age. 8:45 tops. Pretty good, don't you think, Mike?
I thought you were going to go Boy Scout on me and be prepared. But, you know, 8:45. No. I mean, you have shaved this back now. It used to be 9:30. What are you doing? What's going
on?
I'm
just old. I'm just an old man. But I'm still vindictive. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Rockets are terrible. The Bucks are getting it together. And the Patriots are back on the field tonight. But we begin today with a report in the Detroit News that Michigan State and Mel Tucker are closing in on a 10-year contract that will pay Tucker $95 million and make him the second most highly paid college football coach in the country. Second only to Nick Saban, who has won 7 national championships, to Tucker's 0 at the moment. Most of this money is going to be provided by boosters. Wilbon, is this a no-brainer for Michigan State?
Tony, I don't know about no-brainer. I mean, if you said to Mel Tucker, we'd like to sign you for 5 years, for, you know, $65 million. I mean, would he say no to that? No, I don't think so. And, Tony, here's what I really believe about these situations. It's almost like players now, when they sign these long deals, and after 2 years, I'm going to steal something from Woj, who made this great analogy and said that people now, they sign these long contracts, and after 2 years, they want out, and it's like they want to go to the transfer portal. And it's a great line and great analogy. I don't know if it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer to want to keep Mel Tucker. But I know, Tony, in 3 years, if he has one season where he goes 5-7, then half those same boosters who are about to pony up will want to fire him. So I just don't believe it. I have trouble believing that the two sides are happy when they sign these long-term deals, because he ain't going 10-2 every year in the Big Ten. He's not. Nobody is.
So it's interesting that you would mention 5-7. Let me go over his career coaching numbers. He was at Colorado. He was 5-7. He got double the amount of money to come to Michigan State, where last year he was 2-5. Now this year he's doing great. He's 9-1 and he beat Michigan. But he's 16-13 overall as a college coach, and they want to pay him $95 million. Is this a great country or what? I'm sure he's a really good coach. And I'm going to tell you something else, Mike. I think somewhere in the back of the boosters' minds, it works like this. We had Nick Saban on this campus. He was our coach. He left us to go to LSU. We had this guy. There's an opening at LSU now. There's an opening at USC now. If we think this guy is good, we got to lock him up. We can't let him leave because we let Nick Saban leave already.
Yeah, Tony, that may be part of their reasoning. Look, boosters, and I'm one of them. In my situation, right here, 20 miles north in Evanston, Illinois, I qualify as one of those people. And you know what? We're crazy. And we're nuts. All of them, every school. And the more the school wins, the nuttier the boosters are, and the more in control they think they are of the direction of the football team. And
right.
It's great. You have to fund these things. And look, I know how crazy it is in the Big Ten and how desperately that's a great point, Tony. They want to believe we got a guy, he's charismatic, he can win, and we're not going to let him go. But do I think it's a no-brainer for both?
He's making more money than Ryan Day, who beat him last year 52-12.
How about that,
what?
Tony?
Okay.
Tony, listen. Tony, some of those boosters are going to be unhappy 3.5 hours after kickoff this week if he doesn't
if
win
it's
that 52-12, game. I know how this works.
You bet.
How this works.
Let's move to the NBA. The Houston Rockets have now lost 13 in a row. The latest came last night in Oklahoma City. StatMuse, whatever that is, points out that the team is on pace to finish 5-77, the worst record of all time.
God.
Of course, the team is paying star guard John Wall $44 million not to play this season in order to get more playing time for their young prospects. Wilbon, should the Rockets get John Wall on the court or stay committed to this particular path?
Tony, I think you can stay committed to rebuilding and have John Wall play. I don't understand. John Wall came into the league with the Washington Wizards as the overall number one draft pick, part of rebuilding. So this doesn't make any sense to me, and I feel bad for Coach Silas, son of Paul Silas. I feel bad that he has to go out there and have this. And they're saying, no, you can't have your best player because we're rebuilding and we don't know what the optics are. We want our young people to do. Tony, it's a fallacy to me that you can't put John Wall. So let me get this straight. If the Houston Rockets, instead of being projected or going 5-77, go 12 and whatever's left, you know, 60, what, they're not going to be rebuilding? They're not going to have a shot at the overall number one pick? Of course they are. So this is just junk to me, this telling John Wall to stay away. Because you're also, the young players are looking at the coach and the staff like they're crazy. Like, what are they committed to? Right. What are they doing? These players are not stupid. And I think this philosophy and this tact is stupid.
So it's not just $44 million this year. It's $47 million next year.
Next year.
And John Wall's not going to waive that deal. He's going to get paid $91 million to not play basketball in Houston. Look, you know I did not like John Wall in Washington. I never thought he got better. I never thought he made his teammates better. I was happy when they traded him for Russell Westbrook, and I think the team was better. But you can't tell me that John Wall averaging 20 points a game, which he did last year in 40 games, isn't going to make a difference on this team. They're not going to be 1-14 with John Wall. They're just
That's
not.
Right.
His career is essentially over because no one is going to trade for him and pick up one dime of that contract. And if you want the number one pick, Mike, has anybody said LeBron is out there? Does anybody even know who the number one pick is? No. And you take these young kids and you crush their spirits if they lose every single game. You crush their spirits. So the people running that club, I agree with you, whoever owns it, whoever runs it, this is malpractice on their part. This is terrible. It's terrible.
Real quickly, you know what else makes this look bad? Another factor? Like, nobody else. I mean, New Orleans has got some circumstances. They're missing their best player, have played most of the season without their two best players, but they want them out there, Zion Williamson. But Tony, this is a season in which nobody's awful. Teams pop up. You know, Oklahoma City said, oh, yeah, we can come back from double digits down and beat the Lakers. So everybody's trying except the Houston Rockets.
Let us stay in the NBA. Last night was good for the two teams that were most recently in the NBA Finals. Milwaukee got 47 points from Giannis Antetokounmpo, got Chris Middleton back in the lineup and beat the Lakers. Phoenix was down 5 after 3 quarters, put up 37 in the fourth, and beat Dallas for their 10th straight win. Wilbon, which was the bigger win specifically last night?
Milwaukee's, Tony. Because Milwaukee has been hurting. They've had some injuries and guys out for COVID. They've been hurting. I think, you know, it was, 6-8 going into last night's game. And I thought Giannis, after the game, one of the things I love about Giannis post-game is he's not giving you some pablum. He's not giving you anything rote in terms of answers. He's listening, and he's telling you what's on his mind. What was on his mind post-game was, no, this ain't working. We are losing these games. The teams are taking off away from us in our division and our conference, and this got to stop right now. And Giannis showed some sense of urgency right away. They needed that game. The Suns had won 9 straight, and now it's 10. The Suns had the second-best record in the league. If they had lost last night, that wouldn't have changed much. What would they have been, the third or fourth-best record in the league? No, the Suns are playing well, and they are hammering, in some cases, some bad teams. That's what you ought to do. Good teams beat the teams they're supposed to beat. That's the first rule. Suns are doing that, man. But Milwaukee needed that game more last night, Tony, I thought.
So both teams faced a similar situation. Both winning teams were at home, and they faced a team without its best player. LeBron James doesn't play for the Lakers. Luka Doncic did not play for Dallas. I don't want to diminish 10 in a row. 10 in a row is 10 in a row. I don't care where you do it. That's a big-time deal. But you're right. The bigger win was Milwaukee, and I'm going to tell you why. Because Giannis got 47 points last night, and I don't think it was coincidental. It was the first game back after the GQ story in which he said, my next challenge may take me away from Milwaukee. So what he is saying to the fans of Milwaukee is this. As long as I'm here, you're going to get everything I got every time I go out there. And you're going to get it for the next 4 years. Yeah. So don't worry about it. So now the Lakers are not a particularly good team now, but they are a brand name. And Antetokounmpo destroyed Anthony Davis.
He
was 9 for 13 on those times when Anthony Davis guarded him. And what this makes me think about, Mike, is larger than this. Because when we talk about the Bulls and the Wizards, it's why I'm hesitant to make proclamations about them. These two teams, Milwaukee and Phoenix, they proved themselves last year. They were near the top for most of the year, especially the last 2 months, right near or right at the top. Not like Miami, rather, the year before got hot late and maybe was a fluke to get into the finals. These teams are not flukes. They're not flukes, you know?
That's right.
Really,
Tony, nobody's mentioned Phoenix. Nobody's even mentioned them. And they go out there and they clean somebody out every night. After starting 1-3, I believe, they've won these 10 in a row.
That's right. Let's take a break. But coming up is Mac Jones getting too much credit right now. And are we sure there are any really good teams in the NFL right now? We will ask Booger McFarland what he thinks. You know, Booger's on my podcast a lot.
I know you've been stealing Booger.
I'm just saying that.
You've been stealing Booger for your own selfish podcast purposes.
Well, as I told you, I'm old, I'm selfish, I'm vindictive. I want Booger McFarland to talk to me.
Not many people outside.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Bullet Bourbon. Enjoy responsibly.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Bullet Bourbon, part of Happy Hour.
Week 11 of the NFL season kicks off tonight, which makes it a perfect time for a visit from our great friend from Monday Night Countdown, ESPN's NFL analyst, Booger McFarland. Booger, we're going to start with the Patriots. They're at Atlanta tonight. Is the hype about Mac Jones, in your opinion, going too far? Or are there things that you see in Mac Jones that suggest to you he's going to be really good?
You know, Tony, I don't think the hype is going too far. And as far as the things I see in him, listen, when you play the quarterback position, you need to be accurate. You need to throw the football with great timing, great precision, and you need to make great decisions. And Mac Jones does all those. And he kind of got knocked in the draft because he didn't run 4-5. He wasn't mobile. He didn't drop his arm down and throw sideways like Patrick Mahomes. But all he's done is come in and be the best rookie quarterback so far. And so I think with Mac Jones paired with Josh McDaniels, who's the offensive coordinator with New England, with Bill Belichick's coaching expertise, you can see why the Patriots, by some, are being said as to be Super Bowl contenders because they understand how to win football games. It's not all about the stats and the numbers. It's about an offense and a defense complementing each other and playing well. And right now, New England is doing that, and Mac Jones is a very, very key part of that.
Well, Booger, let's go to a team that has great promise but has stumbled, of course, two straight losses for the Rams going into this bye week. Is this just the NFL as we should accept it with all these quote-unquote upsets, or do you see something in the Rams that you think really might be wrong?
Yeah, Mike, that's a good question. I think they have a little bit of a flaw. And, this NFL has turned into a passing league, but you can't have a team that's not physical. And I think we saw Monday night between the 49ers and the Rams, the more physical team won. Well, the Rams made a decision, Michael. They said, you know what? We're going to go away from so much play action and run and pound and ground like we used to. We're going to bring in Matthew Stafford. We're going to go empty formation. We're going to open the formation up, and we're going to win or lose on the arm of Matthew Stafford. Now, I get it. It's a passing league. You got to throw the football more. And Stafford can make some of the throws that you thought that Jared Goff couldn't make. But we saw and we know that football is a physical game, man. Like, you got to hit people in the mouth. And the Rams got hit in the mouth on Monday night by the 49ers. And unless they change that, develop some more physicality offensively, McVay came into this league as a coach that had a dynamic running game. I mean, it was inside, outside zone, play action, those big shots across the field. We haven't seen a lot of those because I think they've lost their way. And if they don't get back to doing that, if they don't get back to running the football and being physical, then I'm afraid the promise and the Super Bowl aspirations that we thought we saw when Matthew Stafford came over, those will be lost.
That's making Tony a little nervous considering he picked the Rams the moment they got Matt Stafford. But,
yes,
Booger,
I
like to poke Tony, I certainly thought the Rams were going to be a tremendous team. But I think some of the fun of this season has been nobody's great. At least that's my contention. As you look over the landscape of the league right now, do you see anybody that you feel, okay, yeah, I know this team is really good?
I think there are a few of them. I think the Tennessee Titans are really, really good. And everyone said that when Derrick Henry went out, that the season was over. They have a coach in Mike Vrabel who should be the coach of the year right now. Let that sink in. Now, the fact that they don't have Derrick Henry doesn't really affect them a whole lot. Adrian Peterson is coming in, and no, he is not Derrick Henry. Don't even get that twisted. But what he does do is give you a threat at the running back position. And all Mike Vrabel wants is a threat so he can be physical at the line of scrimmage, his play action pass. Now I can get A.J. Brown one-on-one. And if I can use Ryan Tannehill's legs to supplement some of the running game, then I can still create a physical team. Defensively, Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle, is having a breakout season. He's been outstanding. Harold Landry has been really, really good. Bud Dupree, if he can stay healthy, that defensive line has been really good. So I think it may not be the sexy team, Mike, but the team that I feel most comfortable being able to count on right now is the Tennessee Titans, because they have played a rigorous schedule so far, and they've come out on the other end of the schedule with the best record in the AFC. And guess what? They don't have their best player. So that screams a really good team to me.
Booger, that was great. Thanks for being on. That was great.
That's tremendous. Love having you. Thanks for making the time.
Hey, man, anytime. Hey, Mike, when I come to Chicago, all I want to do is play one of those nice golf courses, because Tony has yet to invite me to the nice courses in D.C.
I can take care of that right here at Olympia Fields. We got that. We got that covered, Booger.
LeBron belongs to all the great courses. Let's take one last break. Still to come, will Shohei win the AL MVP tonight, and will Bryce Harper take it home in the National League? Booger wants to play golf, Wilbon. You're about the same level,
that.
I think.
We can take that, Tony.
I think he's about a 12 or 13. I think he's right there with you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Bullet Bourbon. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 52nd birthday, Raghib Ismail. The Rocket was Desmond Howard before Desmond Howard, a wide receiver and kick returner, an incredibly exciting player at Notre Dame. He was on their 12-0 national championship team in 1988. In 1989, he returned two kickoffs for touchdowns against Michigan, getting him on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Though he was projected to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, Ismail went instead to the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL for then a record 4 years, $26.2 million. Signing the deal at an LA Kings game because owner Bruce McNall also owned the Argonauts. Ismail won a Grey Cup, and he eventually played 9 seasons in the NFL.
That is great, Tony. You talk about a history lesson. I was there for all that stuff. I watched him play in South Bend, Indiana, live and in person, and I don't remember any of that. It just shows you how quickly you can go if you're not on a stage that burns bright where everybody is. You can be forgotten, and that's too bad because he was too good to be forgotten.
Happy anniversary, Luka Doncic. On this day 2 years ago, Doncic put up a then career high 42-point triple-double against the Spurs. This past week, also against the Spurs, Doncic had his 37th triple-double. That's already good for 11th all-time. Doncic is just 22 years old. Russell Westbrook has the most, 187, about one every 5 games. Doncic is getting one every 6 games. Nikola Jokic is the only active player with more triple-doubles than Doncic, 59, who is young enough at 26 to maybe hold him off. It's an esoteric stat. It doesn't necessarily correlate to winning, but it's very impressive.
It is, Tony. And I tell you what was impressive also. Dallas giving Phoenix a little push, a little trouble last night. Doncic out with a sprained ankle. I don't know if he's going to play tomorrow against Phoenix again in a rematch in Arizona. But the Mavericks played pretty well without Doncic. I thought they might get blown out. I was wrong.
Happy trails to Justin Verlander's free agency. Baseball's winningest active pitcher will stay in Houston next year for a reported $25 million and will have the option to remain in Houston the year after. Verlander won the Cy Young in Houston in 2019, but missed virtually all of 2020 and 2021 due to elbow trouble that required surgery. He recently held a showcase for about 20 teams and obviously impressed the Astros. Verlander's 43-15 with a 2.45 ERA in Houston. Overall, he's 226-129, and he's one of two active pitchers along with Max Scherzer to have 3,000 strikeouts. The 38-year-old Verlander becomes the first big star from the tainted 2017 World Champions to choose to remain in Houston.
Man, first ballot Hall of Famer, Tony. And, you know, Verlander thought he was going to probably be traded to the Cubs, and he would have been on the Cubs roster in 2017. And with him there, we might have gone back-to-back. Did not really have enough without him. So I look back on that and say, man, shouldn't we have made the move for Justin Verlander?
The two pitchers that I mentioned in that thing, Verlander and Scherzer, they are both first ballot Hall of Famers and together in Detroit at one point.
In Detroit.
Let's go to the main finish.
Let's do it.
Lamar Jackson missed practice today with a non-COVID illness. Is that significant?
Tony, it's only significant if they get to the backup, who I don't even know who the guy is. When I heard his name, they're playing here in Chicago. I'll be at that game at Soldier Field. Only if they get to the backup is Baltimore in trouble. AL and NL MVPs are announced tonight. Who you got?
I got Shohei Ohtani, and I think he deserves it for playing, you know, pitcher and being a hitter. And I on the other league, I think it'll be Fernando Tatis Jr., though I might vote for Bryce Harper because he was really good down the stretch. Yeah. College football tonight, Louisville at Duke. Who you got?
I can't take Duke. I even though they beat us this year, I can't take Duke. I'm going with Louisville, Tony. College basketball tonight, Stony Brook, you're familiar with them, at number 3, Kansas. Yeah. Are you sniffing any kind of upset?
Listen for a second. I went to Binghamton. We hate Stony Brook. Okay, we hate Albany. We hate Stony Brook. We don't root for Stony Brook. You know, Binghamton lost an OT last night to Columbia, I believe. Last one. Wizards at Heat tonight. Who do you like?
Tony, the Wizards have played well. They lost last night. Now they're coming off a back-to-back. I'm going with the Heat in Miami. I really am.
Understandable. We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, here's SportsCenter.
75 degrees in Washington today, going down 40 degrees by tomorrow.
40. You'll be Chicago tomorrow.